this is Noelle Madison, just a typical ADHDer. I'm wondering if any of you have read My Struggle, or rather the series, by Karl Ove Knausgård. I'm probably saying it incorrectly. Okay, so I thought that his series was nonfiction. I know it's autobiographical, but I guess it's in novel form. I guess the series is in 6 parts, and each book is maybe 600 pages on average, because the whole series apparently is 3,600 pages, and a lot of times they're sold in one tome, or it's several books in one humongous book. Now, that I finally looked into it just a little bit, I can see why people would be interested, because it sounds like it's got some good gossip, even if it's not true, because he is the main character and he has actual real people as characters in his book and family members, but I guess it's technically fiction. I don't know. Because before I knew that, I just always saw this and it made me so confused as to why this man decided to write thousands and thousands of words about his life. It seemed like the epitome of solipsism and narcissism, and every single time I see those books, I laugh and make fun of them. This is coming from a place of complete ignorance because I have not read any of them. I find it baffling. Of course, somebody I went to a bookstore with one time said, okay, yeah, this was a struggle to get through, and looked at the books in horror, and other people I go with also tend to mock the author. It's just really easy to do that. So yes, he is a Norwegian author, a white man, middle-aged when he wrote it, so his life was not through, thank goodness. But I don't know who else could get away with that. Let me know if I'm wrong to make fun of this dude, and if you've read it and what the appeal is. So I most recently saw his books when I visited a bookstore 1 or 2 weeks ago, and unless I'm in some sort of mood where there's no time to look at anything, it's a little bit like being in a museum when you go into a bookstore and you lose all track of time. I guess being in a library is similar. There's something I love about bookstores, though, maybe because of retail therapy, and because to me, books really can be a form of art. I remember reading years ago when ebooks started to become more popular, a piece by an avid reader and writer who was making fun of people who disliked ebooks and who basically fetishized paper books. And she was saying, what, do you want to brag about what you're reading? Like, people talk about the smell, people talk about how this looks. She thought that it was almost exclusively just a reactionary, thoughtless position and a narcissistic one, because you want to put on an appearance of reading more than you do actually read. She definitely has some truth in this, but I have to say, I really do like books as physical objects. I really do think they're beautiful, and they're probably one of my favorite things to decorate my place with. Not that I actually read that much, surely less than this woman. So books can be pleasant to look at, and the possibility of owning one, as well as knowing what's in there, is really exciting, if sometimes overwhelming. It feels like drowning, but a pleasant way. So drowning in a bookstore can be a pleasant experience, I'm assuming not in real life. Usually I forget that I'm hungry, and by the end I'm so tired. I found that when I went by the Shakespeare section, I said something like, that's my bitch. Anyway, of course, my fondness for Shakespeare is still there. I found one really good book in the nonfiction section. At least it seems good to me. I've been trying to read more, and getting a new book can be dangerous because I'll often start a book and then not finish it and then get a new book or borrow one or whatever and then just keep starting books and not finishing them. But it still is a good way to restart my reading engine, I guess. I've also been reading a lot of fan fiction lately, and sometimes I don't actually read the fan fiction. I just scroll through the tags and descriptions because it's pretty amazing and oftentimes disturbing what people's imaginations will conjure up. The stereotype for people who write fan fiction is young girls. I don't know if that's true. I haven't looked up any studies or done research. Now, frankly, from what I've seen and read, it seems like it's true. There are some young adults, there are some older adults. There are people who write in a variety of languages, and a lot of people who write in English, and it's their second language. And as much as people, including myself, make fun of the sometimes wretched and ludicrous quality of the stories and writing, it seems like an important place for not only young girls of any sexual orientation, but anyone who is a member of the LGBT plus community. Now, don't get me wrong, there's lots of extremely offensive stuff in there, lots of racism, lots of really strange tropes that seem to come, I can only assume, from porn or from other fan fiction. But I think this year, for the first time, after looking into fan fiction on and off for the past, I don't know, however many years, because it's not usually my thing, but sometimes it's fun when the writers have dropped the ball, which is a lot of the time, like writers of a television show or whatnot. But I would say that this year, I've actually found maybe a handful of really great writers online who write stuff that's either in character and or still really interesting and sometimes psychologically intricate, other times very spooky, and sometimes extremely emotional. I saw some people talking about the fetishization of gay men in fan fiction by straight women. Now, not that this doesn't happen, and some of it is virulently homophobic and disturbing, but I also kind of find sometimes that accusation to be unfair, because for one, it's considered normal for straight men to see tons of porn with lesbian women who aren't necessarily lesbians. They're lesbians until a man comes along. And that's considered maybe regrettable, but whatever. They're not going to get as much hate from these people as maybe a 13-year-old girl who isn't necessarily even straight, but from a very conservative upbringing trying to figure out her sexual identity. Now, I'm saying this as somebody who is not a gay man, so my perspective isn't as valid as someone who is, but I also think it's more nuanced than that. I also don't know how legit this conversation was that led to talk about how when there are more characters who are female, there is far more fan fiction written about women characters and pairings of two women rather than two men, who tend to drive the plots of stories and are often far more fleshed out and complicated than female characters, which is why a lot of fanfiction writers are drawn to writing about them. On top of that, a lot of professional storytellers seem to really struggle with writing any kind of romantic relationship and do a better job of creating close friendships, perhaps because there's not as much pressure on them, and also, I mean, surely because of misogyny and stereotypes about romance between a man and a woman, which is the norm for storytelling even now. So much of the time, there's a lot more chemistry and history and interesting dynamics between friends than lovers, and it can feel much more organic and natural. I've noticed that with, for example, the TV show Voyager, it was a really, I would go so far as to say, rare case of a male and a female character who clearly had tons of chemistry, and it seemed as though the show was always making them look like a romantic couple, but they never got together, and the series didn't even leave it open, really, for them to get together, and lo and behold, there's tons of fan fiction written about the two of them. So because there's so little romance displayed on screen, especially between two men, a lot of people fill in the blanks. Even though there are far more representations of lesbians and bisexual women, as far as I can tell, in the mainstream media. It doesn't mean that those characters are well written or that their relationship is integral to plots or explored in depth. Now, to trot out more stereotypes, it's rare for fanboys to petition writers and, as far as I know, write a lot of fiction about lesbian storylines and to really want to see them get together in terms of relationship. What I've mostly seen is guys saying, oh, well, these people know their audience because they're showing women kissing. The audience, they assume, is straight men, not lesbians or bisexual women or gay men, but straight men. And if it's anything other than that as the audience the TV show or whatever is targeting, it's pandering and ruining a show. Obviously, again, not all fanboys or male viewers are like this, but it just seems like even pretty chill straight men don't take into consideration that there are people who are not straight white men, if they're white, watching a show. If they don't want to see it, they just think, well, nobody wants to see that. It's sort of like when there's a male nude scene, or I remember when Watchmen the movie came out some years ago now, every guy practically I knew complained about having a naked character, a naked male character through the whole thing. And it just surprised me because I thought, do you never once think about how women who complain about female nudity or objectification are often told to shut up and lighten up? A lot of people now, both men and women, at least acknowledge that there's a lot of sexism in the media, but in general, it seems like most people, including other women, are really tired of hearing any sort of criticism of the establishment. And then as soon as there's something that wasn't even objectifying a man, this character didn't wear clothes and was blue because he had kind of become superhuman and didn't need clothes anymore. But the moment they saw something that didn't explicitly turn them on, basically, they were disgusted and annoyed. Anyway, there are a lot of reasons why men or fanboys, and I'm using this term fanboys and fangirls, it doesn't even mean necessarily boys and girls or men and women, because a lot of, quote, fangirls aren't actually girls. But I guess, on the one hand, they don't need to petition to see lesbians kissing or whatever, because most producers are more than happy to do that, and more than happy to leave a kissing scene on screen. Like in Jennifer's Body, they talked about how there was strong lesbian undertones between the two best friends, these two female characters. It seems as though they really had to cut a lot out, because some of the scenes that I saw that had been taken out would have really helped the story and help explain things, I thought, if they were left in. But apparently the mostly male people involved in directing the film basically didn't want anything taken out of the scene where the two characters kiss. Also, a lot of men tend to get annoyed with seeing too many female characters on screen and seeing their stories drive the narrative. I bet most men and women wouldn't actually care because they just want to see something good, and conservative companies who don't want to take big risks just keep feeding people the same thing over and over and over again. And when they break the mold, if it's done really well and if luck works out for everybody involved, a lot of audiences are open to these things. However, there are a lot of really vocal reactionaries who don't want to see anything with non-straight white men on TV. They won't say that. They say it's political correctness if you have anything other than them on television. And even though I assume the vast majority of harassment of creators, directors, producers, actors is from these reactionaries, at least by my experience, they're not usually blamed for ruining things. It's the fangirls who are blamed for ruining every show with shipping and romances. No, they are not considered worthy of seeing what they want to see. Unlike the male audiences, who are apparently just entitled to that, the women and people in the LGBT plus community are considered greedy and ungrateful and perverted for wanting to see more gay representation. Also, it's funny to blame these people on Twitter who are contacting writers and complaining as ruining a show that is controlled by extremely powerful people and companies, usually men. But no, they didn't have any power to say no to these people from around the world who were the minority. A lot of people who are criticizing fangirls are not just men or people who consider themselves apart from the fandom, they're people within the fandom who want to police what the people they identify with are doing. That's very understandable because it's embarrassing to be associated with someone who behaves in a way you disagree with, but it's also a way that these groups turn on each other instead of realizing that there are much bigger problems at stake and that the people who are speaking out against producers who perpetuate offensive content are much more vulnerable and in the minority than the people who they're, quote, attacking, unquote. In some cases, they are attacking them. In many cases, they're not. Whatever the case, there is a huge power imbalance there. And siding with the powerful is an age-old response that seems to come a lot from not wanting to be one of them. I'm one of the good ones. I'm still part of your system. I'm not going to complain. And it's an understandable reaction, but it's also a really good way of maintaining the status quo. And I guess one other thing I wanted to say about fan fiction was I often wondered why characters were often so out of character in fan fiction. And for one, it's just because it's badly written. Two, it's because it is a fantasy, so the person can write whatever they want to write. And three, because people want to see happy things for their characters. And people want to see representations of themselves have perhaps a happy romance or a vigorous sex life. And I was pretty ignorant to how rarely portrayed that is for anybody who's queer and how many villains are more likely to be queer-coded than heroes. Certainly there are some sidekicks who are also queer-coded, but they're not usually the hero of their own story. They're more of an afterthought. So a lot of fan fiction with evil characters has them behaving ridiculously sweetly, which I thought was ludicrous, and sometimes I still do, but it's also because I was insensitive to how important that is to see and to be seen for people of the LGBT plus community. Because most of the stories they're fed about gay people is either you don't exist, or you're destined to a life of tragedy. Maybe you'll be a fun gay sidekick who, if you're a guy especially, you're chaste and asexual. Not that asexual people don't exist, but when there's an overlap between somebody who has no relationships and a minority, like a black man or an Asian man or a gay man, you should look at the character a little more closely. So anyway, to conclude, thank you, I suppose, for listening to my ramblings on bookstores and fan fiction and a few issues in fandoms, I suppose. Thank you, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Goodbye!